All right, we got a major, major, major story. We've been working on it for several days, and we finally have gone public with it. It has dire importance. And we're just moments away from making you aware of it. Our news director, Don, is so proud of what he has done with this. And really, it is quite remarkable. Don, I don't want to take a thing away from you. What is the story?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Whoa. Did I not turn your mic on?
There it is.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Kansas City Chiefs player Travis Kelce is now reportedly dating singer Taylor Swift.
Holy cow. Oh, my. Yeah, in your mind, is this a good story or a bad story?
I mean, it's a good story for Travis Kelce.
Not so much for Taylor, right?
Well, I mean, it's probably good for her, too, but... I mean, well, actually, it's probably bad for Travis Kelce, because probably her next album is going to be about songs about him. And most of her songs are breakup songs.
Oh. Well, folks, we want to make sure you realized how proud we are to be the first to tell you about this. We have all the different networks calling us, trying to get more information. Oh, my. You've put in so much work into this.
I know.
Yeah. Well, well done. Well done. All right. Good morning, folks. It's a whole new week, and we have other major stories that we are working on as well. Not quite to that level, but close. So, we hope you had a pleasant weekend. And weather-wise, they say, as I look ahead here, really, it's not too bad a week. Let's just share that. Today, a slight chance of a drizzle before 8. Well, we're past that now. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and a high of 72. Calm winds. Easterly winds. Particularly this afternoon, just at 5 miles an hour. Nothing to really be concerned about. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 56 and calm wind. Tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 76. Tuesday night, 20% chance of a shower, particularly early in the morning. So really what would be Wednesday morning around 2 a.m. Showers and thunderstorms are also possible after 11 a.m. on Wednesday morning and Wednesday night. Then it's supposed to settle down, and we're expecting a nice weekend. And, of course, the weather being the kind of thing it is, it can change. So stay with us daily, and we'll try to keep you on the very latest information regarding the weather. Today, the Party Line program, and just getting underway. It's something we've been doing so many years. We're very proud of it. And... we'll just try to keep getting better and better. All right. Well, let's see here. On this day in history, Don, let's do this. Today, a free-for-all. Let me just break my direction here for a bit. This week we have, I believe, 3 shows. By shows, I mean with guests. We have all 5 days of shows, but today and Friday, at this point, are going to be free-for-all editions. Tomorrow, we're going to learn a little bit about yard work. And, like, I have spots that I can't grow grass. And yet the rest of my yard looks real nice. Well, why can't I get grass to grow where they are? Or trimming of trees, landscaping, all that sort of thing. That's going to be our topic tomorrow. And one of the companies that does a good job here in our region, Greenleaf, they're going to be, I think their manager is coming over to give us some tips, right? And on Wednesday, my great friend Mindy Heflin is going to be joining us. Mindy is involved with athletes particularly. She and her husband run a program called Athletes in Action. And they also have another thing called Campus Crusade for Christ. And these organizations, both of them, are worldwide. And actually, the headquarters for some of this is right here over in Antioch, Ohio, over by Dayton. But anyway, so Mindy Heflin joins me, and she and I are very close. Okay, if everything works out, the mayor will be with us on Thursday. Now, it is a political time of year, right? Mm-hmm. The mayor is up for re-election, and we will, where we have him normally monthly, and would what whoever the candidate was would be. Next month we will skip that show because, I guess to some degree we don't want to be unfair to whoever his opposition is, right?
Yeah,
I think that's a fairly safe way of saying it. But if everything works out, Thursday will be the last appearance before the election occurs of Mayor Patterson. Looking ahead to the week following, on Tuesday, Julie G. That's a cool name, Julie G. Anyway, she's a naturalist out at Burr Oak State Park. And, I love the countryside. And there's so many things they do to try to make the countryside healthier. Because you just let it go on its own and it's not necessarily perfect. But anyway, we're going to learn from Julie G., a naturalist from Burr Oak State Park. And that is a week from tomorrow. And then a week from Wednesday, we're going to learn about the Plains Indian Mountain Festival. That's right. If you didn't know it, you should have by now, if you've lived here any length of time, but there are Indian mounds that were created centuries ago out in the plains. And each year they have an annual festival, and it's to honor that historic thing, and lots of fun things too. So Tammy Blake and Bill Johnson will be the co-chairs in helping us learn about this coming Indian Mound, the Plains Indian Mound Festival. Just looking down, 3 weeks from now we have a meteorologist coming in. That sounds interesting. We'll also be covering the topic of Ohio Health Home and Hospice Care. And we certainly know people that can benefit from those services. So just looking ahead, those are some of the things coming up. All right, but for this date, which is September 22nd, on this very date, but the year was 1066, the Battle of Stamford Bridge. They go on, English army under King Harold II defeat invading Norwegians, led by King Harald Hardrada. Hardurada, that's the better way of saying it, and his brother, Tostig, who were both killed in this bridge battle. Okay, so the year 1066 on this date. Scooting ahead nearly 200 years, in the year 1237, the Treaty of York was signed between Kings Henry III of England and Alexander II of Scotland. And in doing so, that treaty establishes a boundary between the two countries, mostly unchanged in modern times. In 1513, the year, Spanish explorer Vasco Nunez de Balbo crosses the Panama Isthmus, becoming the first European to see the Pacific Ocean. 1789, U.S. Congress proposes the Bill of Rights. They were way ahead of their time. And it remains an important document today. 300, 400, whatever years later. It's remarkable. The Bill of Rights. 1789. All right, moving on. 1906. Leonardo Torres Quevedo successfully demonstrates the Telquino at Bilbao before a grand crowd. Okay, now all of those are words I don't know, but let's see if it helps us. It goes on, a guiding a boat from the shore considered the birth of remote control. Okay, now we have electronic widgets and other things that allow us to electrically steer it or propel it or whatever. How did this happen? This was in the year 1906. Don, I bet you can't find this very easily, but I'm going to ask you to try. So, remote control over a boat. Leonardo Toro Quevedo. 1906. Because I don't think they had transistors and, you know what I mean, things like that that would allow you to do it the way we do it. How did he control it? While we're waiting, we can share some famous birthdays. Of course, that keeps Don busy too.
We got two more.
Two more what?
Historical events.
Okay, I can do that. Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, in 1926, Henry Ford announced an 8-hour, 5-day work week for workers at the Ford Motor Company. 8 hours, 5 days. That's still, by many standards, pretty common. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Of course, recently we've had this automaker strike, and I suspect if we get a little further down the line with our stories this morning, we'll know more about that. Let's see here. Sandra Day O'Connor. This is in the year 1981. She was sworn in as the first female U.S. Supreme Court Justice. Okay, I clobbered it now. So,
the only thing I could find on it is just said that he invented and built the Telequino in order to direct remotely the airships that were his main activity at that time. It is a machine that was able to execute orders transmitted by Hertzian waves.
Hertzian waves. Huh. Well, can we see what a Hertzian wave is? Not to put you on the spot there, but...
It is... Oh, basically radio waves.
Oh. And what year are we at?
Was it 1906? Yeah.
Radio waves. Wow. I had no idea. Okay. Well, remote control, certainly with radio waves, is being done yet today. All right. Now, some birthdays, okay? All males today. I'm sure there were some famous females also, but the list they provided us today, they're all males. Dmitri Shostakovich. He was born on this date in 1906. He died in 1975. Shostakovich.
He was a Soviet-era Russian composer and pianist who became internationally known after the premiere of his first symphony in 1926 and was regarded throughout his life as a major composer.
Yes. If you hadn't gotten it or hadn't been able to find it, I could have given you that one. I played a piece or two from him over my lifetime. Second, born on this date in 1921, Robert Muldoon. He went ahead and died in 1992. Robert Muldoon.
He was a New Zealand politician who served as the 31st Prime Minister of New Zealand from 1975 to 1984 while leader of the National Party.
New Zealand. Okay, let's see. This next one is familiar to me as a ball player. Phil Rizzuto. Born in 1917, he died in 2007. So he made it to 100 years of age. No. He made it to 90 years of age. Anyway, Phil Rizzuto.
His nickname was the Scooter, and he was an American Major League Baseball shortstop. He spent his entire 13-year baseball career with the New York Yankees from 1941 to 1956 and was elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1994.
One more, William Faulkner. And he was born in 1897 on this date. He died in 1962. Faulkner. William Faulkner.
He was an American writer known for his novels and short stories set in the fictional... Yaknapawapa County, based on Lafayette County, Mississippi.
Boy, I'm glad you had to say that.
I was going to say, I have no clue. I don't even know you say that. that was the best I could go with it.
I think you did well.
Well, where Faulkner spent most of his life. He's one of the most celebrated writers of American literature and often is considered the greatest writer of Southern literature. And some of his famous books are The Sound and the Fury, As I Lay Dying, A Rose for Emily, Light in August, Barn Burning, and Sanctuary.
Okay, two famous deaths to mention. And I'm sorry, a historian is not my strength. And even one of these, I wouldn't say is really historic, but I still don't know either of these names. First of all, we have Clement the Seventh. Now, I'm guessing this was a real historical guy. He was born in 1478, but died on this date in 1534. So, what was Clement about?
He was the head of the Catholic Church and ruler of the Papal States from November 1523 until his death in 1534. Deemed the most unfortunate of the popes, his reign was marked by a rapid succession of political, military, and religious struggles, many long in the making, which had far-reaching consequences for Christianity and world politics.
Okay, this next one really has my head scratching. It's Coco the Clown. Okay, so Coco the Clown was born in the year 1900 on this date. He died in 1974. Now, I don't remember a character named Coco the Clown. But, you know, did I watch Howdy Doody and all these different fun shows as a youngster? Yes. But Coco the Clown, what's the story there?
He was a character created by Nikolai Polyak. It's Russian, so I have no clue how you say that. But anyway, it was the creator, and he was arguably the most famous clown in the United Kingdom in the mid-20th century.
Okay, the United Kingdom. I guess that's... I'll use that as my excuse. Let's see here.
Oh, he was the one that made popular, you know, clowns always getting hit in the face with pies.
Yeah. Okay, so that occurred to him a number of times, eh? Okay. Well, we'll put that report away. CBS is, you know, I haven't been telling you more than several months now, but at CBS, the network that we think so highly of and that we're keenly involved with, the Columbia Broadcasting System, their news department. Their various reporters in Washington and New York and around the world do make themselves available to do special segments with us on this topic or that, newsworthy things. It's a little complicated at working it all out, but I just thought I started bringing in a few weeks ago a list of some of those things that they are out there to help us with. And it makes me feel good. Okay, so we can set up an interview with one of their top reporters regarding the United Auto Workers strike. It says automakers are weighing their options after the United Auto Workers Union expanded its stand-up strike from 3 large assembly plants to all 38 parts distribution centers of General Motors and Ford this past Friday. It goes on, the car makers are considering staffing the parts warehouses with salaried workers. So far, only about 12% of the union's membership is taking part in the walkout. So we could speak to Jeff Gilbert from CBS about that. Another topic, the Ukraine. Funding the war in the Ukraine is one of the sticking points preventing an agreement to avert a government shutdown. I think I said that right. The issue is dividing the Republican Party. Hardliners in the House want to cut off all funding. Others, however, are demanding more oversight. Well, the U.S. has already sent $70 billion worth of aid to the Ukraine. The Biden administration is requesting 20 more billion. So Pamela Falk from the CBS network is there to... express some views on the good and the bad of doing so. Boom, 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 boom. Let's see. All these other points are softer. I think we can pass by them. But CBS, we're proud to be an affiliate. Well, as the UAW strike lags on, the impact of the supply chain of cars and trucks to consumer deepens. According to the Associated Press, roughly 10% of the country's unionized auto workers, members of the United Auto Workers Union, the UAW, are now on strike against the nation's top three automakers. This is unprecedented in that normally the union has bargained with one automaker at a time. Their issues, wages, and other compensation, along with job security. The focus? Well, the strike focus is at three plants. A GM factory in Missouri, a Ford factory in Michigan, and a Jeep plant here in Ohio. The UAW has gone on to say that it may strike at more plants if automakers don't present better offers. Well, needless to say, if these strikes last very long or if they expand, this will put a crunch on the automotive supply chain. Yeah. I'm not sure we needed to read that. I think all of that we knew pretty much beforehand. Other items in the news. Well, we're covering the deal to end the Hollywood writers' strike, as well as the South China Sea abortions in Mexico. And Taylor Swift. Well, that's an odd group. Let's see what we've got here. The first thing says how the deal was done. Negotiations had stalled for months. They regained momentum last week, when studio executives, including Disney's powerful chief executive, Bob Iger, came to the table. After 5 days, both sides reached an agreement. The use of AI, artificial intelligence, was the final striking point. The writers didn't want studios to use their work to teach chatbots how to write, feeding AI old scripts so the chatbots could generate writing in a similar style. The writers also worried that studios would ask chatbots to rewrite or refine the first drafts of their work, for scenes or even whole shows. That's the nightmare scenario, said John August, who is on the Writers Guild negotiating committee. The story goes on. The studios had initially said that too much was unknown about the new technology, in that the guild would need to wait to discuss it further in future contract negotiations. But over the weekend, the studios proposed a few paragraphs to be inserted into the new contract that addressed writers' concerns about AI and old scripts. The two sides spent several hours negotiating the language on the final night of talks. Well, let's move on. An ongoing shutdown and end to the writer's strike would not mean that Hollywood is back to full working order. A separate actors' strike led by SAG-AFTRA is continuing. The actors want 2% of the total revenue generated by streaming shows, something that studios said is a non-starter. There are no talks scheduled between the two sides as of this date. But going on, the combination of the writers and actors' strikes had halted work on shows by, well, such as Yellowstone, and movies like the next installment of Mission Impossible. And it goes on, more than 100,000 behind-the-scenes staff, you know, like cameramen turn the page, Palmer. There we go. Cameramen and operators and makeup artists are still out of work. The actors' strike also hindered marketing by preventing union members from going on press tours. Well, with writers most likely heading back to work, daytime and late-night talk shows, and hosts like Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, and Jennifer Hudson could soon return to the air. Let's see, more on the strikes. The Writers Guild suspended picketing, but encouraged members to join the striking actors' picket lines, which will begin again tomorrow. In another item, the stock prices for Disney, Warner, that is Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Paramount Global have taken a hit during the strikes. Well, duh. A third item, Hollywood writers thanked their negotiators on social media. You saved our profession, they said. Still one more point. Hundreds of filmmakers attended an awards gala cheered when the deal was announced from the stage, the Hollywood Reporter writes. It is my gut feeling that this is going to get resolved. This has been drifting for a while. I think there's a new interest in getting it over with. So let's keep our fingers crossed. All right. Just flipping a few pages here to see what else pops up. Don, did you come across anything while I'm looking through here?
I have not.
We did get a study, didn't we?
Oh, we did. I was trying to find it. There it is.
What was that about? I've forgotten already.
It was 2023's Best Cities for Vegans and Vegetarians.
Okay. Now, am I a vegan? Am I a vegetarian? The answer is no. However, folks, many of you, perhaps, Tom Kastoris and the CHIP program were very popular and had a number of classes. I think they held 20 classes, and each class was maybe 6 months in duration weekly. And I did take that class, and I learned so much, and it made me so more cautious, I guess, about what I ate. And out of that, I have lost some weight. It's not extraordinary, but it's. I have had people say, gee, Palmer, you've lost some weight. And I do feel healthier. Okay. CHIP, as I recall, stood for Complete Health Improvement Project. They called it the CHIP program. And I mentioned Tom Kastoris, but there were others that were engaged with it too. Now, one of the things they did push, though I don't know what percentage of the people that took the class actually became vegetarians, but they said vegetarian would be wonderful. Okay, so share this study with us. This is a current new study.
Yes. It says, to determine the best and cheapest places for following a plant-based diet, Wallet Hub, who conducted this, compared the 100 largest cities across 17 key indicators of vegan and vegetarian friendliness.
Okay.
The data set ranges from the share of restaurants serving meatless options to the cost of groceries for vegetarians to salad shops per capita. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the top 20 cities for vegans and vegetarians. It actually doesn't even say the worst for some odd reason.
Okay.
But we'll at least do the top 10.
Okay, so, folks, if you were truly a vegetarian, vegan, whatever term you wish to use, the number one city where that is most easily accomplished and popular is
Portland, Oregon.
Huh. Okay. Number two,
Los Angeles, California.
There's no way I would have guessed that. Okay, we'll keep going.
Number three, Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
Number four, San Diego, California.
Again, I can't imagine.
Number five, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Number six, San Francisco, California.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, I could see that.
Number eight, Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, Austin, Texas.
Yes.
And number 10, Oakland, California.
Okay, so how far down do they go? Do they go 30 or 40 or what?
They only have 20.
20. Is there anything from Ohio showing up?
There is not.
The closest state to us?
Kentucky.
Really?
And there's actually two in Kentucky.
And those are?
Number 11 is Lexington, Fayette, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then number 15 is Louisville, Kentucky.
I know both those cities quite well. Particularly Lexington. Huh. Interesting. Well, we might try to find an advanced copy of that, which doesn't stop with just 20.
Yeah.
If you think of it, we'll try for sometime later this week. 9:47 now. Let's put this away here. You know, I often like to look at just the headlines. And there's often some really weird ones, too, I might add. Well, we've covered this a little bit, but this puts it in a little different perspective. On day 146, the screenwriters reach a deal with studios to end their strike. Good. Let's see here. I'm just trying to share those that really are of interest to me. Okay, clams ruled this town until the crabs moved in. Well, I like both of them. I love crabs particularly, but clams are good too. Anyway, we're talking about the Adriatic Sea. Goro, G-O-R-O, that's the location. And those two sea creatures are battling a bit there, but it's great for the those that like to eat them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's another headline here. Oh, and the war in the Ukraine. Cash, mules, and paid protests. How a fraudster seized an ethnic enclave. All right, the war in Ukraine is intensifying long-standing frictions in a region of Moldova called Gagauzia, I think it is. A Moldovan convicted of plundering his country's banking system sees an opportunity. Doesn't sound very trustworthy to me. Okay, here's a story about a woman, Rahil Dawat, who, back in 1917 and before, was recording her people's traditions. She was a Chinese background. But in 2017, she simply disappeared. And it has just been discovered that she is still alive. She is in prison, and she is never supposed to be released. Okay. Just because she documented Chinese traditions. Baton Rouge. The FBI is investigating charges of abuse by a Baton Rouge police in the Brave Cave. Yeah, this is kind of a rough story, but if you want to look into it, it's out there. You see, in North Carolina, Republicans are seeking more control over elections. I'm not sure why they feel it isn't well controlled, but they're double checking themselves. Let's see here. Incarcerated for life, an inmate is left behind by prison reforms. Here's Bonnie Irwin is her name, a disabled black inmate who has served 39 years. Fell just outside the reach of a recent law's compassionate release. His former lawyer became a Republican congressman who voted against it. That's too confusing for me. Let the system figure it out. 9:52 now. By the way, let me just update something here. If I can hit the right button, there it goes. Refresh. Okay, wrong button. Okay, we're showing 65 degrees now outside our studios here on Columbus Road. And by the way, they say it's only going to top out with 5 more degrees. 70 is going to be our high today, and that's during the period, once again, 3 to 5. The low overnight, 58. All right, back to what we were doing here. Okay, you know, there's been this claim that DeSantis abused Guantanamo detainees. But even though it's been suggested and thrown out there, probably to try to blacken his eye, the New York Times is saying they have found no evidence to back that statement up. Interesting. Well, let's see here. We've got some faster passenger trains running. You know, our nation has had a certain... You know, over in Europe, they do run them faster, okay? And whether they have more accidents or less, I don't know. Years ago, I did. But I don't know about the current scene. But now, they're trying some really fast trains here in the United States. Like from Miami to Orlando. And $158, but you're there lickety-split. You know, Greece had a really tough time 10 years ago. I like Greece a lot, the country. And now it is one of Europe's fastest growing economies. And it's just a pleasure to visit it now. So if it's not on your to-do list, if those sort of things interest you, I suggest you add it. Let's see here. I guess now we have wristwatches that'll take photos.
Oh, yeah, those have been...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, those have been out for a while.
I know that you can have just about all of your telephone on there, but I didn't know it included photos. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of information just recently launched on how to take a higher quality picture with your watch phone. I've got some fancy watches at home, but none of them have all that stuff in it. They're like for track timing and stuff like that, you know. But golly. Let's see, what about one-liners? That et cetera section that I always like. Well, I don't see one today. Anyway, some interesting topics. The unspeakably sad reminder of the other parts. The world is arranged discreetly, rather too discreetly, conceal the bleak side of the life from us, and we are complicit. We are complicit. There we go. The moral theater of social justice parenting. I can't help feeling that as an American culture has become more racially progressive, it also becomes more pathological about race. And there's always interesting things to ponder, whether you agree with them or not. Dick Clark, he was an Iowan who walked, not the entertainment guy, but he was a senator, right, from Iowa. And he walked 1,300 miles. And as a result, the people that observed all of that voted him in. He became a senator. Well, he died. He was 95 years of age. Buddy Tevens, pioneering Dartmouth football coach, he died. He was 66. You know, really just about on any date you can name, there is someone of some importance, of some fame, who passes. There's so many people in the world. Well, Don, once again, you and I are going to learn how to plant some grass tomorrow, I think. And how to make our lawn look a little bit nicer. And when to be trimming this and when to be trimming that. I just do the best to my eye, but I don't know the chemicals or the facts or whether I'm doing damage or what. But I try to mow every week and do everything I can. And it doesn't look bad. I just know it could look better. One mistake I made was I have this large triangular garden. Not triangular, rectangular garden. And someone who I know well, a good neighbor, planted mint in it. And that mint has taken over like crazy. Mint. Oh, well. I just don't know much about these things, but I'm learning as quick as I can. So we'll learn more about it tomorrow. In the meantime, Don, have a good day. And folks, each of you, we want you to have a wonderful day. We'll rejoin you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock right here on The Party Line. Bye-bye.